The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to College Football Live on a Wednesday with Desmond Howard and Todd McShay. I'm Marty Smith, and we're going to get started today with some news out of South Bend, Indiana. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish will not practice today, and they very well may not practice on Thursday either as the university reacts to a recent rise in COVID-19 positive tests that has, for the moment, suspended instruction in the classes. And that is going to affect the football team today and possibly tomorrow. So, Des, I'll start with you. What's your reaction to the fact that there will be no in-person instruction at Notre Dame through September 2nd, and this is going to impact the football team at least today?
Marty, there's so much to unpack right there with that statement, with that act. And for them to have to pause football practice to address that issue, to take questions, I would have loved to be able to hear some of the questions that were asked and the answers that they received. This was something that I believe we could foresee happening, especially once you start to open the campuses to the students. And if they're not practicing social distancing, if they're not wearing masks, this is inevitable. It's going to happen everywhere. We're starting to see it happen in more places. It happened at UNC just the other day, now Notre Dame. This is going to continue as schools open up the campuses to students. No surprise whatsoever.
Yeah, Des, listen, I played at University of Richmond. I didn't play at Michigan. I didn't play at Notre Dame. But I can't
the
even
spiders,
imagine
right?
if I like think back to when I was in, exactly, when I was in college, of like anything that Jim Reed, our head coach at the time, would have stopped practice for. So it tells you how unique the circumstances are, and we all know what we're going through. I think it really tells you, how important communication is right now. And the ability to stop practice, to actually talk to players and tell them what's going on, what's expected, and how we're going to make this work, if we're going to make it work. You've got to be responsible for what you have to do, and these are the things that you have to do in order to make sure that we're safe and that we can continue a football season if we do indeed start it.
And Todd, what you're saying there is the dire need to communicate. You have to communicate with the players and the parents, and that's why there's so much frustration right now in the Big Ten. There's frustration among the players, the coaching staffs, and the parents. And one of those coaches that's frustrated is Penn State's James Franklin, who addressed the media today to discuss that frustration.
I don't necessarily have a issue with the decision, but I have an issue with the process, and I got an issue with the timing. You know, it was challenging to keep getting up in front of my team and getting up in front of my parents and not having answers to their questions. When you make a decision of this magnitude that affects so many people, on such a significant level, maybe the most important decision in the history of the Big Ten, it wasn't.
You heard James Franklin say right there, Todd, the most important decision in the history of the Big Ten, possibly. And there's just so much confusion. We've seen the frustration now ever since the decision was made. There are parents who are writing letters to the Big Ten office and Commissioner Kevin Warren. There are players speaking out about their frustrations. What is your perspective about what's going on in the Big Ten right now?
Yeah, Marty, I think this is to be expected, right? Like, you've got everyone in the world wants college football that's involved in any way, shape, or form wants to play or watch or be a part of college football in the fall. So, listen, like, it was such a difficult decision to make for the Big Ten and the Pac-12, saying, even though we know we're going to lose all this money, the TV rights, the players wanting to play, the coaches wanting to coach, everyone wants to be a part of this, but we have to make a decision that we believe, based on the medical evidence and the information we're getting, that we have to make that tough decision to say we can't do it even though everyone wants to do it. So now you're seeing the frustration and the backlash, and I understand it. The problem is there's not going to be college football in the Big Ten this fall. There's not going to be college football in the Pac-12 this fall. And unfortunately, I don't think, in my opinion, I don't think there's anything that anyone can do in order to get college football for those programs. Yes, they're frustrated, but at this point, they know the information, and it's time to probably start to move on.
And the problem is that they don't know the information. They don't understand how the league and Kevin Warren and the presidents came to this decision. And I felt the frustration today. I had the opportunity on my podcast, Marty Smith's America, to interview Aiden Hutchinson, a tremendous edge rusher for the Michigan Wolverines, whose father, oh, by the way, happens to be an ER doctor who's seen some of 1,000 patients with COVID. Here's what he had to tell me today.
I would say my emotions are just frustration. I'm just infuriated. They made this decision without talking to us, you know, the commissioner, our president. There were no words exchanged asking about our thoughts and whether we want to play, because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we're the ones playing. I think it's unfair that Kevin Warren, the Big Ten commissioner, is canceling the Big Ten season, yet his son will be playing football at Mississippi State this year down south. So for him to cancel my season and allow his son to play football, it doesn't quite make sense.
Des, you heard what Aiden Hutchinson said right there about his level of frustration, not only that he's not playing, but that his commissioner's son might have the opportunity to in the SEC. What's your reaction to what Aiden had to say there and the overall vibe in the Big Ten right now?
Well, he just echoed the feelings of everyone in the Big Ten, all the players, all the coaches. Of course, the players want to play. And, you know, Marty, as anybody who's in administration, from coaches to athletic directors to commissioners, you can ask any of them. They will tell you all the players want to play. Hey, Marty, we were once young, and we thought that we could conquer the world. Nothing could affect us. So if you took a poll with the players, of course, just about, I would say, maybe 90% of them would say, yes, I would play. Don't forget now, there were players before these announcements were made that opted out of the season. There's still players right now in the SEC who have opted out of playing. So you wouldn't have gotten 100% across the board, yeah, we all want to play, because there are some guys who understand the risks that are involved. But for guys like Aiden, I completely understand. That's why Justin Fields has that petition and has over 200,000 signatures. Well done, young man. So I understand their frustration. Hey, it's great to be young, but that's why you got the adults in the position that they're in to make the tough decisions to try to protect, you know, these young men.
Trying to save them from themselves in some small way, maybe, Des. As a result of some of the Big Ten and Pac-12 teams not being able to play this fall at this moment, the NCAA has proposed that those teams might have the opportunity to practice for 12 hours a week. And as part of that, there is the potential to spend 5 of those 12 hours in helmets working through that. It would be film session and that type of thing as well, team meetings. Penn State head coach James Franklin reacted to that today as well.
I don't agree at all with the 12 hours. That makes no sense that other teams are going to be playing a season and we're only going to get to work with our guys for 12 hours.
Des, real quick, thoughts on a 12-hour week for these young men who can't play?
Hey, Marty, I'm doing the math in my head. And even if they're working just 5 days a week, that's not even 3 hours on the field. You know what I mean? That's less than 3 hours. But I guess they're trying to throw them some sort of bone, and that's the best that they've come up with so far.
Yeah, I just don't understand. Like, first of all, where in the world has the NCAA been in all of this, right? Who's governing? Who's? I could go on for a long time, but who's making the decisions? And now you come in and the what you've been thinking about is 12 hours versus teams can do 20 hours if they're playing in the fall. At least allow them to have the 20 hours that every other team has. But, like, the NCAA is a whole different subject for another time. I'm frustrated with this, and I can understand how every coach in the Big Ten and the Pac-12 is extremely frustrated with this ruling.
Already frustrated that they may not play while the other conferences are, and now they're reducing their hours as well.
Right.
Two former LSU students say former NFL Washington football team running back Darius Geis raped them a few months apart from each other in 2016, while Geis was becoming a star running back with the LSU Tigers. That, according to USA Today. The allegations were shared at the time with at least two coaches, an administrator, and a nurse, but the school apparently did not investigate, according to that report. A police report was not filed, and Geis has denied all the charges. LSU responded today in a statement. The school saying, LSU and LSU Athletics take all accusations of sexual assault with the utmost seriousness. Complaints are also strongly encouraged to report the offense to law enforcement and are provided information on health care, counseling, and supportive measures available. The NFL's Washington football team released Geis earlier this month after his arrest on domestic violence charges. Coming up, several marquee talents on Todd McShay's mock draft board are choosing to opt out of the 2020 football season and instead prepare for the NFL draft. We'll break it all down next.
College Football Live is brought to you by Jeep. There's only one.
News today out of Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Another great player has opted out of the season. Star wide receiver from Wake Forest, Sage Surratt, will not play this season for the Demon Deacons. And he joins several great players across the country who've made that decision. Take a look at some of these superstars. The list includes first-team AP All-American Micah Parsons from Penn State, the Big Ten's yards-per-reception leader Rashad Bateman from Minnesota, and last season's ACC sacks leader Gregory Rousseau. I mean, these are some ballers who have decided not to play this season, and that creates issues for the NFL scouts who want to look at how these young men prepare and how they play the game. Well, our guy McShay, who knows more about the NFL draft than anybody, has a proposal for them. Todd, you had a great article on ESPN.com about this. What's your perspective on how this might be remedied?
Yeah, I'm just looking at it from two perspectives. One, the player's perspective, and then two, the evaluator's perspective. They both need more tape. You know, when you're graduating school, like, there's no LSAT for an NFL draft prospect. There's no grad school. There's no internship. Your tape is your baseline in terms of your resume. And so you lose out now on 12 to 15 games of tape that you can put out there for evaluators. Not only are the players losing out on opportunities, the evaluators are losing out on the opportunity as well to get to know these players and get to understand what they can do in terms of the next level. Go back to the last three first overall picks. You're talking about Baker Mayfield. I had a third round grade on him. Then he goes number one overall. He made $30+ million off of that last season. Kyler Murray was going to be an Oakland A. He was playing Major League Baseball for about $9 million. And then he winds up with that one season at Oklahoma and turns in the number one overall pick and over $30 million that he gets from that. And then last year, Joe Burrow, I had a fifth round grade on. And then he goes number one overall. Again, $36 million that he winds up in his contract. So what I've proposed is that we need to expand the Senior Bowl. There's no other place in the pre-draft process, from the game, that national championship game ending, to the draft, there's nowhere that's more valuable than those practices that you can watch. One-on-ones, the corners versus receivers, tackles versus defensive ends, all of that. So I think the Senior Bowl is the best place to try to make up for that loss of tape. And the way you do it is expand it. And I talked to Jim Nagy, who's the executive director of the Senior Bowl, and he's already looking into maybe playing 2 weeks in December and then 2 weeks in January or February and having a lot more players there. To me, that seems like a good solution to try to help both sides.
We happen to have an expert who can help us unpack this from the pro level. Our NFL front office insider, Mike Tannenbaum, joins the program now. Mike, if you were in this position where you had to evaluate young men and you don't have the tape that you wish you had, how would you go about this?
Well, I like Todd's idea. It makes a lot of sense. But really, that's only half of the equation. We always talk about the tape sets the floor, the character sets the ceiling. Our friend Desmond Howard happened to have both. That's why he was a top 10 pick and had the career he had. But what's really important is I like the idea of the postseason activities at the Senior Bowl because it gives you some sense of an evaluation. But when I'm talking to teams right now, they know they have to double and triple down on their contacts at schools, especially in the Big Ten and the Pac-12, in terms of leveraging their contacts to get the right information on these players because they're going to be making massive projections, bigger projections than they ever had to make before. So the big concern is obviously getting the evaluation right from a player standpoint on the field, but also from a person standpoint, really getting to know the character of these players.
And this doesn't affect the superstars nearly as much as it does young men who have an opportunity to truly improve their draft grade. Dez, you were one of those superstars, so it didn't apply to you, brother. But if you were advising these young men who needed more tape, how would you go about advising them to get the exposure that they need?
Well, I would go and make sure I pull the best tape that I have against some of the best competitors, some of the best guys in this draft class. If I'm a wideout and I went up against a defensive back who was going to be like a first rounder, and I would make sure I pull that tape and I would splice it so they can see what I was able to do against some of the best competition. Secondly, I would hire an agent that can help get me the exposure that I need. You need a seasoned agent at this point that knows all the loopholes and knows all the back behind the door tricks to get you all the attention, all the exposure that you can. And then third, I think Mike Tannenbaum, he's brilliant. He hit on a good point, character. You want to make sure that these teams are aware of your character. So if you have coaches, position coaches, head coaches, coordinators, who can vouch for the character that you have on and off the field, the person that you are, then I think that will go a long way in trying to get the exposure and getting the good grade that you need as a kid who's about to become a rookie in NFL.
I just keep going back to the tweet Joe Burrow sent out just a few days back. He said, if this would have happened to me last year, I'd probably be looking for a job right now. And he just signed a $36 million deal. That tells you how important this is. Coming up on the show, our reporters all over the country will update us on the latest news around the college football landscape, including what Georgia's going to do, welcoming fans back. And on Saturday, it's another UFC fight night from Las Vegas. Pedro Munhoz takes on former lightweight champ Frankie Edgar in the bantamweight main event. The main card starts 8:30 Eastern on ESPN. Prelims at 5:30 on ESPN+.
College Football Live is brought to you by Gatorade. For athletes who make the days count, nothing beats Gatorade.
It's fantasy football time, y'all. Sunday, we'll kick off our fifth annual fantasy football marathon with more than 24 straight hours of coverage on ESPN, ESPN2, and the ESPN app. All the fantasy insight to get you ready for your season. The SEC schedule is finalized, and there's some huge games to be played. Georgia will host Auburn on October 3rd in front of a limited crowd. And then 2 weeks later, the Dogs travel to T-Town to face Alabama. I cannot wait to see these games. Here's Mark Schlabaugh on Georgia's stadium plans this year down in Athens.
Thanks, Marty. Georgia officials on Wednesday announced seating plans for each of the team's four home games at Sanford Stadium this fall. Georgia officials said there would be no more than 25% capacity at Sanford Stadium. That number equals about 23,000 spectators per game, and it includes players, families, students, and faculty and staff. The typical Georgia season ticket holder will have an opportunity to purchase one four-ticket block for one home game. The school's top donors can purchase that many tickets for as many as four games. Georgia officials said there would be about 10,000 tickets made available for the Georgia-Florida game in Jacksonville, Florida, but there would be no tickets being sold for the four true SEC road games. For news at Texas, let's go to Sam Kahn.
Thanks, Mark. Expectations at Texas are high as usual, in part because of the presence of star quarterback Sam Ellinger. The senior was asked earlier this week if he needs a championship to cement his legacy with the Longhorns. "That's for everyone else to decide," Ellinger said. "It was my mission at the University of Texas to leave the program better than I found it, and if I've done that, then I consider it a success." Right now, Ellinger is more focused on perfecting the offense under new coordinator Mike Yurcich. A veteran of the Big 12, after six successful seasons directing the offense at Oklahoma State, Ellinger called Yurcich smart, professional, intense, and a great play caller. Now let's go to David Hale, who has an update on Clemson.
Thanks, Sam. With Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne back, you wouldn't expect offense to be the big concern for Clemson, but that's where the biggest storylines have been. Start on the O-line, Clemson's trying to replace four starters there after an offseason where there's been very little face time for that group to build chemistry. Dabo Swinney said he's actually been really pleased with how the first five have looked, led by right tackle Jordan McFadden, who's been one of the big breakout stars at camp so far. It's the depth that's a big concern, and even during a normal year, Clemson likes to go 10 deep on the O-line. They rotate early and often, but with COVID-19 looming, potential for quarantines because of contact tracing, building depth is bigger and more important than ever for the Tigers. Meanwhile, at receiver, Justin Ross out for the year with a neck injury, but sophomores Joe Ngata and Frank Ladson have yet to practice in full either. They've been in their own quarantine protocols because of COVID-19. They're expected back at practice on Thursday as Clemson breaks camp and starts turning their attention towards Wake Forest in week one. Over to Marty.
I appreciate it, David. Gentlemen, I don't even know what to make of this football season. I just hope we get to play it. I appreciate your insight today, boys. Y'all have a good day.